I can see your fingerprints upon my life. Always seeking my best. There were times when your way would make no sense, but as you said, you have never left. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe. You are always only good. Looking in, I can see my frailty. My sin is great, and my strength is so small. Still you stay, and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand, and you hear my call. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Help my heart believe you are always only good. Looking up, I can see your sympathy. I doubt myself, but I'm sure of your love. Lavish grace was poured out at Calvary, securing me for our home above. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart.
Truth in the songs that we have heard today, and I trust that you have allowed those songs to prepare your heart for the receiving of the truth of God's Word. It's always good to see everyone in God's house, our church family, visitors. It's always good to see, but it's in particular good to see Brother Carl and Sister Wanda and Sister Dobbins today. It's good to have them. They were able to be here Wednesday night and then back with us again this morning. That's a blessing. And it's an answer to prayer. And we praise God for His enablement and enabling them to be in our service. We're thankful that you're here too. And I just pray, it's my prayer, that God would take His Word and meet you at your point of need. You're here today for no doubt many reasons, but lost in that is certainly not lost to me, is the fact that we're needy people. We have needs in our lives. And God's Word is able to meet our needs. And I pray that as you listen to the Word of God today, that you will allow the Word of God to speak to your heart and to minister to the need of your life. Now, I don't know what your needs are. And quite frankly, I don't have the ability to meet those needs. But I'm preaching from a book this morning that's been tried and proven. The Word of God is capable. In my inability, I stand upon the ability of the Word of God to meet your need today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Philippians. I certainly have enjoyed going back through the book of Philippians, and I've learned some things, and God has helped me, and I trust that you've gotten some help as we've gone verse by verse Last week, we ended in verse number 11. We were talking about Paul and his position as far as that he would know Christ in a greater capacity. He spent his life, you know, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he spent the rest of his life answering that question. The next thing he said is, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And he spent the rest of his life doing it. You know, those are probably two of the most important questions in all of life. Who art thou, Lord? Who is Jesus? I pray that you know him. And then what would he have you to do? I pray that you're doing what God placed you here to do. We're going to follow up on that in verse number 12 through 16 today. And I want to talk to you about a race. You know, when the Apostle Paul, in his writings, when the Holy Spirit moved upon him, God used his personality as he did all the writers of the Scripture. And that's why, though, that there's really one true author of the Bible, it's given through many lights and perspective, because God uses human personality when he moved upon these holy men of old as they spake and they wrote down what God would have them to write down. Paul used different analogies when he was talking about the Christian life. You may remember he talked about the armed services in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, we're to put on the whole armor of God. He said, you're soldiers. And he said, so put on the whole armor. He talked about being a part of the armed services, the spiritual armed services. Then he talked about, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talked about agriculture. He talked about how important it was that we plant and sow, and the importance as a Christian to get involved in planting and sowing. He also spoke about architecture, and he talked about the importance of that. He said, you're buildings of God. But here he talks about athletics. You know, it's hard for me to imagine the Apostle Paul. I think this is probably one of the greatest things that he used as far as when he was drawing analogies. He always reverted to things that were competitive or sports related in that day. Here I believe he has like a relay race or some type of marathon in mind. And he said, as believers, we're to run the race that God has given us. Now, he didn't say that we're to run the race to become a believer. He said, no, you run the race because you are a believer. Now, let me explain what I'm saying here. I want you to think about the Olympics. Now, in this day, they had Olympics. And they had them in some of the great amphitheaters back in that day in Greece and Rome. And they would have these Olympic Games. And you didn't run in the Olympics or compete in the Olympics to become a citizen. You did so because you were a citizen representing your country or the place in which you were a citizen of. Well, it's the same as a Christian. We don't run the race to become a Christian. We run the race because we represent the fact that we are a Christian. Amen. We represent the fact that we've been saved, that we're of a different country, and that we're representing heaven on earth. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul's not saying run the race so that you can finish the race and make it into heaven. He's saying run the race because you're going to heaven. En route to getting there, show people how they too can come and go with you. Let's see what he said here. First of all, he talked about starting the race. I want you to write that down. This is where it all begins. I want you to imagine in your mind on a starting block in some type of relay race. This is what Paul has in mind here. And he said this, notice the statement he makes in verse number 12. He said, not as though I had already attained. Now we're going to come back to that word in a moment. It's a very interesting word. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, I want to stop here and say what Paul was going to show us is though I'm saved because I've been apprehended. I like that word that Paul uses. Notice what he said, the latter part of verse 12. He said, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, God apprehended me. Amen. What a good choice of words. God apprehended me. Christ Jesus on the road to Damascus apprehended me, took me into his custody. I wonder if you've been apprehended this morning. If you've been apprehended by the God of heaven, has the God of heaven come to you and apprehended you, taken you into his custody? The high sheriff of heaven taken you into his custody, apprehended you for his cause, for his kingdom, for his purpose. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, I've been apprehended. God came to me. God sought me. God apprehended me. And he said, now, when I got apprehended by Christ, no doubt, as every Christian, he thought, I thought that was going to be the climax of it all. I thought it was going to be the ultimate, that I would be totally satisfied and that all of my problems would go away. Well, Paul is writing this from the prison, so all of his problems didn't go away. And you who have been saved for any length of time know that when you become a Christian, that doesn't mean necessarily that all your problems are going to just dissolve. Doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away. It does mean all your sins are going to be forgiven. That's better than all your problems going away. Somebody say amen with me. Having all your sin forgiven is better than having all your problems dissolved. Amen. And so Paul said, I want you to know I've been apprehended, but I'm not perfect. And it didn't take Paul long to realize that. That's what he's saying in verse number 12. He's saying, when I started the race, I had a little bit of a misconception of what the race was. I thought I was going to get saved and then I would be perfect and everything would just be rosy. But I found out quickly that wasn't the way the Christian life was intended to be. And all of you that are saved can say amen with the Apostle Paul. Listen, it doesn't take us long to find out a couple of things. Number one, what Paul said here in verse number 12, either we're already perfect. It doesn't take us long to figure out once we get saved, we're not perfect. Somebody say amen with me. And it doesn't take us long once we get saved, not only to realize we're not perfect, but that life is not just a bed of roses. There's hard places for the Christian life also. So he said this. He said in verse number 12, though I was apprehended, though I got in the race, though I started the race, didn't take me long to find out some things about myself and about my new position in Christ. Notice how he worded it in verse number 12. He said, not as though I had already attained. Now, I like this, and I want to open this up a little bit for us, and I want you to get an understanding of what Paul is saying, because I think it's going to help us this morning. He said, you know, there came a time in my life where I realized God saved me for more than just getting me to the finish line. God saved me for more than just crossing the ticker tape and busting through the finish line and winding up in heaven, though that is the end result of getting saved. But he said there is a journey from the start to that finish point. And God has a purpose in that journey for my life. And Paul said, I came to realize that I haven't attained that purpose. What he's saying is I had a sanctified dissatisfaction. Right. Have you ever become dissatisfied with you? You see, when we get saved, now don't misunderstand me. I've never been dissatisfied with Jesus. Man. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I have never been dissatisfied with my Lord Jesus Christ. But I am constantly dissatisfied with me. And Paul said, though I was saved, I thought, well, you know, this is going to take away all of those things and I'm going to be just satisfied and everything's going to be rosy. He said, but the more I grew and the more that I got closer to Christ, I became more dissatisfied with who I was and where I was in my purpose as far as fulfilling, attaining is the word he used, that purpose that Christ has for me. What about you? You see, I believe this is motivation to run the race. See, Paul said, I started the race. This is the start. He's on the starting block. He's entered the race. And it's almost like you can hear the gun sound, right? And so he started the race and he realizes there's so much yet to be done in my life. Can I tell you that the place that the devil would have us to believe that we are is in a place of attainment.
I finally arrived. He's got you. The devil has you if you're there. I've made it, preacher. I finally arrived. Know it all. Can't teach me anything. Been there, done that. Paul said, don't ever get to that place. There ought to always be a sanctified dissatisfaction about our lives, of where we realize, though I have been apprehended, I have not in my own life apprehended. You say, wait a minute, what? Listen, look what he said now. Look at verse number 12. He said, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. Though I have been apprehended, though I have, all of me belongs to Jesus, I still haven't given Jesus all of me. Jesus has got all of me, but he still wants me to give him all of me. You say, preacher, that's a paradox. It's one that we can't understand, but I want to tell you something. It's so. It's so. You see, Jesus apprehended the person of Paul on the road to Damascus, but in his life, Paul kept having to give himself to Jesus Christ. Had to keep giving himself back to Jesus. You know why? There's something about us that just we want to take our life back. We want to take our life back. There's something about us that will tell God, I've got this. I've got this. I know this. When you study the life of the apostles, you'll find that many times when they were on the water, it was almost like they were telling Jesus, now Jesus, you relax. We've got this. We're fishermen. We're men of the water. We have this. You go on back in the bow of the ship and take a nap. We've got this. And then when the storm came, they realized we do not have this. And then they ran to him and they said, Master, carest not that we perish. You know why? Because they had let it get to the place of where it became now dangerous. And that is exactly the way we do when things began to break loose and fall apart in our lives. We'll wait because we think we've got this. We've got this. This is an area of my expertise. And then we'll wait and we'll wait until it gets into the realm of the dangerous. Paul said, I want you to know something. I haven't attained. God's using me. I'm reaching people. But there's yet still much to do. Now, I thought about this in my own life, and I thought about it as we as a group of people, as a body of believers. God is using Fellowship Baptist Church. And God has done great and mighty things for us and through us, but there's still much to do. Amen. We as a body of believers could say with the Apostle Paul in verse number 12, not as though we had already attained. We haven't made it, brethren. We haven't made it. Can I tell you that when every chair in this congregation, in this sanctuary is filled up, we still haven't made it. Amen. When we have missionary, when there's people representing Christ, we partnered in every nation on the globe, we haven't attained. Amen. We have to keep focus, and that's the very next thing that Paul's going to talk about. You see, when God begins to bless and when souls begin to get saved and when we begin to grow and when we begin to have a little knowledge of God and what God is doing, we'll get a little lazy. We'll get a little comfortable. You see, somehow, I don't fully understand it, but human flesh somehow responds better to adversity than it does to prosperity. Say amen with me now. You let us get prosperous and we'll get lazy. You let us get in adverse situations and then we'll get dependable. And we always need to depend on God, no matter where we are in life. And yet in our lives, when God begins to bless us and bestow his blessings on us, we get a little fat and sassy and we think we're all that and we've attained. And Paul was just reminding these people here in this church, don't get there. He said, don't get there. It's not a good place to be in. Always remember there's still work to do. There's still growing to do. There's still something in your life, my life, our life that we need to work on. So he said, start the race. And he said, the way to start and to stay focused and to maintain this is to always remember you could do better in some areas. You say, well, preacher, I'm reading my Bible every day. And you know what? That's great. That's commendable. But what about your prayer life? Well, I'm praying as I ought. Well, that's good too. What about your witnessing? You see, there's always areas that we can allow God to work in our life to do better. How about loving your enemies? You see, this thing of being a Christian is more than just naming the name of Christ. It's living the Scriptures. And so as we go through what the Scripture teaches, we need to understand that there's always room for improvement in areas of our lives. And that's what Paul said. So we start the race, and he said one way to do is when you start the race, always kind of maintain a little bit of a sanctified, what I call a sanctified dissatisfaction. Not with Jesus now, but with yourself. Number two, not only are we to start the race, but Nancy said, I want to talk to you about running the race. Write that down, running the race. So you're starting the race. You say, well, I've started. Amen. If you're saved, and I hope that you've been apprehended now, listen to me carefully. The only way that you can be in this race is to have repented of your sin and to have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's how you get in the race. That's how you qualify to be in this Christian race, hypothetically speaking. The only way you can be saved and go to heaven now is to know Jesus as your personal Savior. So you've done that, okay? You're on the starting block. You're in the race. The race has begun. Now let's talk about running it. He said, if you're going to run the race now, he said, you're going to have to keep your focus. Watch the very first thing that Paul says here. How important is this? How many people have you and I seen in our Christian life that have momentarily lost their concentration, lost their focus, and in a moment of weakness, yielded to sin, and it took them down? I'd say that probably everybody in here could raise their hand and say, I know someone like that, preacher. Maybe somebody very close. We've seen it happen to good folks right here at Fellowship Baptist. And don't you sit there and think, well, it'll never happen to me, preacher. It may. And I pray it doesn't. And I pray it doesn't happen to me. But now I think all of us need to understand it could. It could. So here's what Paul said. He said, once you get in the race, he said, stay focused. Running the race. Here's the thing he said. Write this word down. Devotion. When you're running the race, you need to have devotion. Look at what he said here in verse number 13. He said, but this, right in the middle of it, he said, I realize that I have not apprehended. I haven't attained. I haven't become perfect is the word he used in verse number 12. He said, not that I'm already perfect. I haven't made it, so to speak. And he said, because of that, I realize I'm in a race. I realize I'm in a battle. I realize I'm in a competitive environment where there are people that are competing. There's enemies. He said, so here's what I'm going to do. Look at verse number 13. He said, this one thing I do. Now that speaks of concentration, devotion. One thing. I'm going to stay focused. Can I tell you, if there's one thing that you and I are going to stay focused on, we need to stay focused on our Christian life. You say, preacher, I'm going to stay focused on 50 things. I doubt it. I doubt that. I doubt you're going to stay focused on 50 things at one time. Paul said, this one thing. You know, I went back through the Bible, and I looked at this little phrase, one thing. Right? It's something. It's something. Remember when the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 came to Jesus and he said, Master, good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And you've read that account. I preached it here. You've read it. And Jesus said, you know, go and sell and keep the commandments. And he says, you know what? I've done all of that. He said, one thing now thou lackest. Right? One thing thou lackest. Remember when that man was born blind and Jesus touched him And he went out, and the Pharisees caught him, and they said, "Hey, what's going on with you?" And he said, "Well, you know, this man named Jesus touched me." And they said, "What about this man? Who is this man?" And he said, "Listen, I don't know." And he said, "Whether he's this or that, I don't know. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." Amen? One thing. The psalmist David in Psalms 27 said, listen, he said, "One thing have I desired, and this will I do, that I may worship or meditate or inquire in thine holy temple." And then there was Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. Remember? When Martha came to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, look at my sister Mary. I'm serving, and she's not helping me." And he said, Martha, thou art cumbered about many things." He said, "But one thing is needful." Right? Here, Paul said, here's one thing. Look what he said here in verse number 13. He said, "One thing I do." Paul said, "I want to stay focused." Now, brethren, I want to exhort you today, as your pastor and someone who cares about your life, don't lose your focus in your Christian experience. It's easy to do. Don't lose your focus now. Don't lose your devotion. Fan the flame in your heart. Stay in God's word. Stay in prayer. Stay in church. Stay engaged. It's important. Stay engaged with God's people. It's important. You say, "Preacher, I can let up a little bit and still be okay." Hey, let me hear this now. Listen to me. Listen. You cannot do that. "I'm going to let off the accelerator a little bit, preacher. I'm going to back off a little bit and I'll be okay." Listen, better men than you and I have tried that and it didn't work out for them. Stay engaged. Stay in the front. Stay on the battle line. Amen. Stay up front. Stay on the firing line. Stay engaged. Stay in the words. Get to praying. Be in church. Share your faith. Live for Jesus. Don't think you can take some time off and then just pick up where you left off. It doesn't work. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. Paul knew this. So what did he say? He said, "Hey, I haven't attained yet. I haven't attained yet. I'm not perfect. He's still working on me. I'm still growing." And he said, "Because of that, I want to stay focused on my Christian experience." How focused are you on your Christian experience? Where's your devotion? Let me ask it that way. Where's your devotion? You know, it would be wonderful if we could get some people as excited about Jesus as they are about hunting. Now listen, I'm not being mean here. Don't misunderstand me. It'd be a wonderful thing if we could get people just as excited about church and Jesus as they are about their football team. I watch a little football, but listen to me. There's people that are so excited about things. Football and sports and hunting and shopping. Wait a minute. Well, okay. But you know what? If we're not careful, living for Jesus will be just a top 10. Will it crack the top 10? Some people work instead of worship. Hunt instead of worship. Ball game instead of worship. I'm telling you now, you're messing up. And here's what Paul said. Listen, this is what the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse number 13. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. I need God. I need the Bible. I need fellowship. I need church. I need prayer. I need the brethren." And he said, "But this one thing I do." He said, "I want to stay focused. Devotion." He's talking about running the race now. Run the race. Look at this. "Forgetting those things which are behind." That's direction. So as you run the race, think about devotion. But also think about direction. Direction. Got anybody in here that runs track? Raise your hand if you run track, or if you ran it when you were in school. Some of you say, "Man, you can look at me and tell me I ain't running track." Well, I don't mean right now. I mean maybe way back in your high school days. Huh? Raise your hand. Run some track? Okay. All right. You know one of the first things they teach you to do, right? You don't run looking back. Right? If you had a good track coach, that's one of the first things they taught you to do. I mean, they'll teach you how to get off the blocks. They'll teach you different things as far as stride and how to breathe, you know, wind sprint. They'll teach you those things. But they'll listen, one of the things that different people have different techniques, but there's something that every teacher will teach you. You don't run looking back. Can't look back. Jesus put it this way. He said, listen, no man that's fit for the kingdom of God is going to plow looking back. Now, what's Paul saying here? He said, you got to forget the things in the past. Now, I believe there's a positive and a negative, and I'm just going to mention them quickly here. I want to mention the negative. See, the devil wants you living in the past. To be quite frank, the devil wants all of us living in the past. Because before Jesus found us, there was none of us no count. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You speak for yourself. I am, but I'm going to speak for you too. I said before Jesus found us, there was none of us no count. We were all just sinners. Sinners on our way to hell. On our way to hell. Now, since Jesus has found us, he's put us in this race and we're running the race, and he said, you look forward. You look forward. Don't you be looking back. Don't you be looking back. You look forward. See, the devil wants to take you back to that time when you failed Jesus, doesn't he? That time when you've done something that you knew in your heart you shouldn't have done. The devil wants to take you back there. And he wants to keep you right there. And Paul said, listen, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Now I want to say something, I want to move on. If you're here this morning and you have royally failed, you've messed up, you let God down, you failed Jesus, it's time, if you haven't already, to repent of that, get God's forgiveness, and move on. Amen. Move on from that. Amen. If you need some help, maybe you need somebody to help you through it, to pray with you and to give you scripture. Come to me. Come to someone on our staff. We want to help you through this time of hurt and get you to where you can be used for God's glory again. Say amen with me now. You got to put that past behind you. You'll never go forward looking back. Never go forward looking back. And Paul said, I'm going to stay focused on my Christian life. And the way to do that is look beyond. Look ahead. Paul had his eye on the finish line. See, every Christian, you say, well, it's past, present, future. Not for the Christian. It's future, present, past. I'm going to say that one more time. The world will tell you it's past, present, future. But God says it's future, present, past. God wants you living for the future. Amen. God wants you looking for the judgment seat, the reward day. God doesn't want you looking in the past. That's the devil. That's the devil. The devil's word is yesterday. God's word's today. And listen, right? Today. Look forward. Look forward. Today. You just look forward today to where you're going to be. So he said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. If you failed God, you need to ask God to forgive you and move on from that. Now, here's the positive side of that. It's really a negative, and that is some people, that's all they can talk about is yesterday. Well, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to work in the bus ministry. Well, I used to serve God. I used to pray. Hey, can I tell you that yesterday's successes are not going to build today's strength. You've got to move on from that. Thank God for that. But listen, today's another day. This week's another week. Amen, brethren? Yeah. Got to build on some things. God wants you to make an impact today. Thank God that you made a difference yesterday, but today is another day. Thank God you made a difference last week, but this coming week is another week. And so he said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Now, let me say something about this word, and then I'll say a couple things and we'll close. Look at this word, forgetting. What do you think Paul's doing there? Verse number 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Paul said, you know, this thing of direction, I want to just keep reaching forward. I want to forget those things which are behind. I think Paul was thinking back to verse number 6 here. I really do. I think if you look at chapter 3, verse number 6, he said, concerning zeal persecuting the church. You know, Paul goes in detail in this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I did it in ignorance. He did. He said, I did it in ignorance. I think it really hurt the heart of Paul that he did that. And the devil always wanted to get him back to there.
But I do want you to understand something that he said concerning zeal. Now, Paul said, you know, the only reason that I want to look back is to remember the zeal that I had for the devil. I want to maintain that zeal and more for God. You know, some of us were full blast for the flesh and the devil. About half for God. Don't be half for God. Don't be half for God. Hey, listen, you were full for Satan. Be full for God. Amen? You had it turned all the way up for the devil and yourself and the world. Turn it all the way up for God. Go all out for Him. Don't give Him just half. Don't give Him the leftovers. Paul said, you know, I want that same zeal. When I was persecuting the church, I want that same zeal to help me as I reach forward doing God's will for my life. When he said forget in verse number 13, he said forgetting those things. What was Paul saying? Paul said somehow he could magically forget. Can you do that? You know, sometimes we tell people that and I don't even think we realize what we're saying. Somebody come to us and say, preacher, you know, or Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I have this situation on my mind and I just can't forget it. And we'll say, well, just forget it. They just said they can't. Amen. Right? You know, I've got this situation that's bothering me and I just can't get it out of my mind. I just can't forget it. And one of the first things that come out of our mouth if we're not careful is, well, just forget it. They just said they couldn't. What's Paul saying here? When Paul says forget, does that mean just some magical way that it's going to leave our minds? Not at all. Listen carefully. Do you good to go home, look this word up, and search it out. In the book of Jeremiah, Hebrews chapter 10, God said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In other words, God said, I'm going to forget them. Now, how is that going to happen? What is God saying? That somehow he's just going to erase it from his all-knowing mind? Not at all. When Paul is saying here that I'm just, you know, going to forget those things which are behind, does that mean that some through some magical hypnosis or some magical mind trick, he's just going to be able not to remember them no more? No more than you or I can do that. But here is what he's saying. He's saying, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to let them have a bearing on the way I approach the present and the future. And this is exactly what God is saying. When he said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, he said, it's no longer going to have a bearing on our relationship. Their sins and their iniquities, gone. So it's not going to have a bearing on our relationship. Right? Did you commit those sins? Yeah. But God said, in my mind, gone. So it's not going to have any influence on our relationship. So here's what Paul's saying. He said, when I forget those things that are behind, I'm not going to allow what I've done in the past to have an effect or an influence on the present and the future. I'm not going to let them drag me down. Don't you let them drag you down either. If God said you're clean, you're clean. Move forward. If God said you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Serve Jesus with your life. Accept by faith what God has said. And then finally, he said, you know, starting the race, you have to have a dissatisfaction. And then running the race, you've got to have devotion and direction. But then finally, winning the race. And by the way, that's why you entered the race. You say, well, no, I, preacher, I tell you, I'm in this thing to finish second. Something broke in you. I've never entered anything in my life to finish second. Amen? I hope you can say that. Oh, I just want a participant trophy. Never entered anything in my life to get a participant certificate. So, well, now, preacher, times have changed. I haven't. No participant certificates or trophies. If I'm going to get involved, I want to finish first. Now, why is Paul saying this? Is it, you say, well, preacher, not everybody can finish first. Well, let me tell you, I can in my race. And you can in yours. Because what Paul was saying here is finish fulfilling Listen to me now. God's purpose for your life. See, God's purpose for your life is not the same as God's purpose for my life. So, Steve, you can finish first in your race by fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life. And I can finish first in my race by fulfilling the purpose that God has in my life. Finish first. In other words, don't be satisfied with God's second best for your life. And that's what he's saying. Now, how am I going to do that? I'm going to give you this and we'll close. Two words I want you to write down on winning the race. How can I do it? Well, I start the race. Well, it's got to be a little bit of dissatisfaction. By the way, you got to get dissatisfied with yourself before you ever want to get saved. You got to realize you're a sinner. And then after you get saved, you got to be dissatisfied with where you are in Christ and say, you know what? I can do more and God's got better for me. And then there is running the race, devotion. Stay focused on the race that God has for you. And then direction. Direction. Be growing, moving forward. Winning the race. Number one, determination. Notice the wording here that Paul used in verse number 14, I press. Doesn't sound like somebody sitting back saying, let go and let God to me. Amen? Be careful of these little Christian jargons that are going around. They're unscriptural. A lot of stuff that I see people posting on social media has no scripture to it whatsoever. Christians, can I encourage you to do something? Check those little quaint, trite sayings out with scripture. A lot of them have no scriptural foundation whatsoever. Here's one. Let go and let God. That's not what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Amen? Amen. That doesn't sound like let go and let God. That sounds like put your hand to the plow and do the work. Now, Paul said, I press toward the mark. He said, I've got to press. He said, I am determined. Are you determined to fulfill God's will in your life? I trust that you are. I trust that you are. Be determined. Don't just wait for God to pick you and make you fulfill His purpose for your life. Get engaged. Complete God's best for your life. Reach God's fullest potential. My, the potential that's in this building is unlimited. What could God do with a church like this? Look what He's already done. And yet I believe that there's much more that can and should and will be done for the glory of God. Amen. And then finally, discipline. He said, you got to do it God's way. You know, I close with this. A lot of people, God begins to bless and things begin to happen, and then they begin to go outside of God's rule book, which is the Bible, and say, well, we can make this better and bigger by doing it this way. You'll never make it better than the way God said do it. Notice what Paul said here. He said, now you got to play by the rules. You can't be running in somebody else's lane. You can't be doing things. Listen, you get outside your lane in a relay race in the Olympics, guess what? Disqualified. It's happened. It's happened. Disqualified. Now, that doesn't mean that you're no longer a citizen. It just means you're no longer in the race. Right? You don't cease to be a citizen of the country you represent. You just cease to be competing in the race. Don't break the rules. Do it by God's word. Look what he said, and this is where we close. Verse 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and that means complete, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. In other words, don't think about doing it some other way than the way God said do it, because if you do, God will let you know. And then look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You know how you got to the place where you have attained in some areas? You did it by following the rules. So continue to follow the rules, and God will continue to help us to attain some things in our life. All right? Now, there's the scripture. There's the scripture. We need to not only run the race, we need to win the race. What about you? How are you doing? Do you realize you haven't attained? I hope that there's no one here this morning that is just kind of sitting on their laurels thinking, you know, I'm a pretty good Christian and I think I'm just good where I'm at. No, there's room for growth. There's room for improvement in all of our lives now. There's room for improvement in all of our lives. Let's all stand. God help us to be a better us. You say, preacher, I think I can get someone else to be better. Well, I got an idea. You work on getting you better. Amen. Well, I tell you, we always want to work on getting someone else better. But let's just work on getting us better for Jesus. All right? Let's just work on getting us better for the Lord. Let's bow our heads together.